Good morning, 12th Street. It's good to see you this morning. We need to help everybody that's out in the lobby know that we're starting so they can come on in. Well, it's great to have you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want to say welcome to 12th Street. Hopefully, you'll have a wonderful time with us this morning. And we have a lot of announcements to go through, so if you'll take your bulletin. And first of all, I talked to Carl, and he has accepted the position here as assistant pastor. And so now he just got back from Kenya yesterday. And our conversation was very short because it's very expensive to talk to someone in Kenya. So when he wakes up later today, I'm hoping to connect with him a little bit more, meet with him this week. And we're looking probably at December 1st as his start date. But we're still working through some of that. So just be in prayer that he'll get a great start, and I'm looking forward to working with Carl, and he'll be a blessing to everybody here, I guarantee you that. We have our special opportunity for you to participate in some family evangelism. It's a dinner at the Rickman House, and if you would like to join in serving and then just fellowship with the people that live there, the residents at the Rickman House, November 9th at 6 p.m. That's the opportunity for you. If you'd like to contribute some food, there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center, and it's all full. So it's all full, so if you'd like to help prepare the food, you can see Krista Asher, right? Where's Krista? She's probably in the nursery. If you'd like to help serve, meet here between 5:30 and 5:45, and then you'll be going over to the Rickman House, and it is a great service opportunity. On November 18th, we have a very special opportunity. Carl Baugh will be with us. Carl Baugh is he used to be a missionary in Fiji, and then he's in between being a missionary in Fiji and coming back to the States. He also does a lot of scientific work. He's discovered two dinosaurs while digging, and he's excavated both of those dinosaurs. One of them is a brand new kind of dinosaur that they found in Colorado. And he also has a creation evidence museum, and he's built the world's first hyperbaric biosphere. And with this hyperbaric biosphere, he tried to recreate what he believes the environment was like before the flood. People can't go into it because it's not FDA approved, but he does a lot of experiments. In fact, they're getting ready to go online 24/7. You can jump online and watch the experiments that are growing in the hyperbaric biosphere and just observe. And it's really neat stuff. He does a lot of great work trying to show how the Bible and science are not adverse to each other, but actually God and how he described it happening is exactly how it's happened. We have the pleasure of having him with us in 2 weeks on November 18th. He'll be with us at 10 o'clock in the morning for Sunday school, then at 11, and then we'll break and have some lunch. Stay here for the lunch. Bring a dish to pass that goes with chicken, okay? Amen. So bring anything, because chicken goes with anything. And then after we eat, Carl's going to present a third session, and then he'll do a question and answer time. And you say, how come we're cramming it all in? Well, he's in Fiji right now, and when he gets back from Fiji, he'll be jumping on an airplane and flying here to be with us on Saturday, and he's 82 years old, and he does not think that he'll have the energy to speak Saturday, but he'll be all raring to go on Sunday. But Carl, when you meet him, you'd think he's in his 50s. He's an amazing, amazing man, and you'll really enjoy what he shares. So remember that we have a potluck on November 18th, and Carl will be with us, Carl Baugh. Don't forget a Wednesday night dinner. Start back up this Wednesday. If you are planning on participating with the dinner, make sure that you sign up so they know how much food to prepare for the Wednesday night dinner. And Christmas shoe boxes. And you go, oh my goodness, is it that time of year? It is. And the collection date is November 12th through 19th. So the 19th is the last day that we can take them to a distribution center. So we're collecting them November 18th. So if you'd like to participate with the Christmas shoe boxes, there's a at the Welcome Center, there's a display. You can go out there and see what's going on there. A bunch of people from our church went to the Alternatives Counseling banquet, and it's a pregnancy care center, pro-life ministry, and they were able to take with us the bottles that we put the change in. $215 we gave to contribute to the ministry there. So thank you to all those who helped contribute to that. All right, for the rest of the announcements, I think you can read your bulletins. So let's go to the Lord together in prayer. And before we pray, we're going to do something a little bit different. If you don't know, if you don't watch commercials, which you're probably smart if you don't, November 6th is an election, right? The midterm elections are taking place. And so I would like to just, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." And so what I would like to do this morning, instead of just doing a regular prayer where we kick things off, if you are able, I'm going to invite you to kneel. If you're not able, that's okay. God understands. But if you're able, I'm going to invite you to kneel. And here's what I would like to pray. I'm not praying for any parties. I'm not praying for any specific people. I'm praying that God will help those who will follow his morality be elected into office. And I'm praying that those who will fight against his morality will be defeated. And that we would be a country who will follow the Lord. That's what my prayer for America is. And so for our local elections, and also for the elections that have consequence for the U.S. House and state, I pray that God will answer that. And so if you'll join me in prayer, I'm going to kneel and invite you to join with me in kneeling and praying to the Lord. Lord God, we as a people, we so desperately need for you to watch over our country. This nation is so torn and divided. There's so much rhetoric about hate. So many wicked and evil events that are transpiring. Violence. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us a solution to our political problems. We can't speak for anybody else, but Lord, we in this room can cry out to you and say, we are your people. And we are humble right now, Lord, before you. We cannot, on our own, decide how the governance of this country will work. But Lord, we can rely on you, and we can trust you, and we can ask you for help. God, forgive us of our sin. Renew a right spirit within us. I pray, Lord, that as the elections take place on November 6th, that those people who will follow your morality, that, Lord, they would be elected into office. I thank you that you tell us that you are the one who puts people into office. And so I pray that, Lord, you would help those who would vote for immoral people who will not follow your ways. I pray, Lord, that they would not make it to the polls and that they would not vote. I thank you that we have a great promise that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And my desire, and I know it's the desire of many in this room, if not all, that we would be a nation where we call you the Lord God Almighty, our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Hear our prayer, Lord. Help America to be a country that focuses and relies on you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take a moment and say hello to five or six people around us.
Hello.
I would like hello. To have you issue a challenge. We're trying to get our kids to invite every science teacher in our school.
Oh.
We need a flyer.
Okay.
So we can put them on.
Absolutely.
Judah's already asked us, and he's like, okay. Well, I'm a Catholic. I'm not sure. And he's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
So if we have a flyer, we want to hit every, in Otsego, we want to
That'd
hit
be
every
awesome.
Science teacher. And if our kids will all do that with their teachers, Christian school, but...
Find our seats. If everyone could find their seat. And I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come forward. I'm sorry, the deacons to come forward. The ushers will come forward in a little bit. The deacons, if they could come forward. It's the first Sunday of the month. And what we do here at 12th Street Baptist Church is on the first Sunday of the month is we have communion. And if you're not familiar with communion, communion is not a means by which to gain favor with God. Communion is something that we do, hopefully regularly, every day in our lives. But we also, once a month, as a church body, take the opportunity to... remember the death of our Lord. In fact, Jesus, he told his disciples, do this until I return. And so that's what we're doing this morning. We are remembering that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. And here's how he died. He allowed his body. Something spectacular about his body is he was 100% fully human. He took on flesh and became obedient like a servant to be a human being. And although his body was fully human, he was divinely 100% God as well. And so in his body, he never sinned. The Bible calls him the spotless Lamb of God. And as a spotless Lamb of God, he offered himself through a blood sacrifice, fulfilling all the blood sacrifices of the Old Testament, making it so no more blood sacrifice ever had to be done. And in his sacrifice, we have received forever the forgiveness of sin. And so what we do this morning is we fellowship with what our Lord has done for us. We remember that he died, that his blood was spilled. We thank him. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to encourage you, don't take the elements here this morning because it won't do anything for you. Instead, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sin to him. Tell him that you believe he died for you, and this morning he will save you. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ, then this morning, it's an opportunity for you to have a couple minutes of stillness and quiet where you can just thank him for what he's done for you. And if you have some unconfessed sin in your life, right now is the time to confess it. In fact, the scriptures tell us if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have two cups there. There's the bottom cup has the bread in it. The top cup has the juice. As we pass it, make sure you get both cups. And let's just go to the Lord in some quiet, and let's talk to him and fellowship with him, remembering the sacrifice he made for us. Brian, could you ask a blessing on the bread, please?
All right.
The scriptures tell us that after supper, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He said that this is a remembrance of his body. This do in remembrance of me. And after the bread, they took the cup. And I'd like to ask Ray if you could ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have today. The grape juice that's representing your blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. And Father, when I asked for my sins to be forgiven, they were taken away by the blood that was shed by your Son, your most precious and perfect Son, that was without sin, that had to die on the cross for me. Father, thank you for that opportunity that I have to tell others about the gospel and the good news, because it didn't keep Jesus down. He came forth out of the grave. And Father, we're thankful for that, that the blessings of being a part of your family. Father, would you just be with this communion as we remember and continue to keep it holy, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And now we have the opportunity this morning to sing some songs about what our Lord did for us. The first song we're singing is "The Lion and the Lamb." He is both the defender and keeper of Israel as the Lion of Judah, but he is also the author of our salvation through being the Lamb. And then we're going to sing that he is forever risen. That is, his coming back from the dead is not something that was temporary. It is permanent. He is forever risen. And then we'll sing about the Lamb in heaven, a song that heaven sings in the book of Revelation, at the Revelation song. So let's stand together as we sing to the Lord.
Battles and every knee. stop the Lord Almighty? Who can 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 stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before you. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb.
Forever he is. sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Father, we just pray You pour Your Spirit out on the men and women that are leading us. Father, we just pray that if they're not leading us in a way that You'd have them to, Father, we just pray You'd convict them. Don't let them sleep, Lord. Just work them over. Father, we just pray that as Pastor comes this morning, you'd pour your Spirit out on him, Lord, and that our hearts would be prepared for the message that you have for us. Father, you'd give him the right words to say to us this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would the ushers come forward, please? Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so excited we can be in your house today, Father, and to hear the word that's about to be brought to us. And we thank you so much for the freedoms that we have in this country. And ahead of all of those is that we can be here and worship freely, Father. We ask today that you be with the message, Father. Be with all those that give to your works. It's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.
Child, when I felt the Savior leading, I was drawn to what I could not understand. And for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what He'd have me be is who I am.
As I've come to see the weaker side of me, I realize His grace is what I need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mercy said no.
For God so loved the world that He sent His Son to save us.
From the cross He built a bridge to set us free. Oh, but deep within my heart,
through the blood of Jesus.
Jesus.
Reminding me of one day long ago. Long ago.
Like we've had a full service, right? You don't? You need more? I mean, I'm ready for more, but boy, I tell you what our Lord has done for us just to allow us to be here today. And that grace is speaking on our side, and it says, I am not going to let go of you. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought. Before I dismiss the children to Children's Church, Cheryl is all too kind, Cheryl Campbell, and she's the one responsible for that thing up there. And there's some slushies, apple cider slushies. Before you leave today, grab one. They're in the lobby. And a cupcake, okay? And so everybody can celebrate Jenna's birthday because it's tomorrow. And, and mine's today, so... So kids, make sure before you leave, you tell your parents, I need a cupcake, all right? Because any leftover cupcakes will probably end up on my desk, and I don't need them. So we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church, and let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And as you're turning there, so there's this man from Bulgaria who drove trains for a living. And he loved his job. Driving a train had been his dream ever since he was a child, and he loved to make the train go as fast as possible. Unfortunately, one day he was a little too reckless and caused a death of a single person. Needless to say, he went to court over the incident, he was found guilty, and he was sentenced to death by electrocution. When the day of the execution came, he requested a single banana as his last meal. After eating the banana, he was strapped into the electric chair. The switch was flown, sparks flew, smoke filled the air, but nothing happened. The man was perfectly fine. Well, at that time, there was an old Bulgarian law that said a failed execution was a sign of divine intervention, so the man was allowed to go free. And somehow, he managed to get his old job back driving the train. Having not learned his lesson at all, he went right back to driving the train with reckless abandon, and once again he caused a train to crash, this time killing two people. The trial went much as the same as the first, resulting in the sentence of execution. For his final meal, the man requested two bananas. After eating the bananas, he was strapped into the electric chair, the switch was thrown, sparks flew, smoke filled the room, and the man once again was unharmed. Well, this, of course, meant that he was free to go. And once again, he somehow got his old job back. And to the surprise of no one, he crashed yet another train and killed three more people. And so he once again found himself being sentenced to death. On the day of his execution, he requested his final meal, three bananas. You know what, said the executioner? No. I've had it with you and your stupid bananas, walking out of here unharmed. I'm not giving you anything to eat. We're strapping you in and doing this now. Well, it was once again, it was against protocol, but the man was strapped into the electric chair without his last meal. The switch was pulled, sparks flew, smoke filled the room, and the man was still unharmed. The executioner was speechless. The man looked at the executioner and said, "Oh, the bananas had nothing to do with it. I'm just a bad conductor." Oh, come on. So, to tell the truth, Scott heard that joke on Thursday and he laughed out loud. And he booed me today. Something's wrong with that. But. Well, this morning we're going to look at when Jesus showed up in the Old Testament. This is the third in our series here of when Jesus showed up in the Old Testament. This is one of my favorite accounts in all of Scripture. And you've probably heard this story if you've grown up in church. And so I want to ask you to look at it with fresh eyes this morning. We are going to focus in on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Haziah, Mishael, and Azariah, which their Hebrews names were, but then they were renamed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to look at them, but I want us to look at Daniel. Daniel is the author of this book, and Daniel is a very prominent figure in this book, but for some reason, when it came time for three people to be thrown into a fiery furnace for not bowing down to a king's idol, Daniel was not thrown in there. And I have read every excuse out there as to why he wasn't there. And so I just thought, let's just look at what the Bible says. And maybe we'll see from this why it's so important that Daniel shares with us his own account in a lion's den after this. So let's start in Daniel chapter 2. I told you to turn to Daniel chapter 3, but we're looking in verse 48. So it's close to the end of chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 48. Daniel has just interpreted the dream that the king had. And in chapter 1 in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Azrael, and Azariah, they did not eat the king's meat. They ate basically bread and water, beans and water, and that's all they had. And because they didn't want to defile themselves with the meat offered to a foreign god. And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were more healthy than the rest of the people in the kingdom. And so they've already gained favor with the king. They're in positions of honor with the king. But now Daniel's just interpreted a dream that the king had. And so here's what the king says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 48. "Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king." So Daniel's been promoted to this great place of honor. And it was the Lord's doing. It wasn't Daniel's. So then we get to chapter 3. And Nebuchadnezzar the king, he's a very vain individual. He himself thinks that he is godlike or even above other gods. And he makes the statue, an idol to himself, of himself, made out of solid gold, and it stood 90 feet tall, 9 foot wide. That is one huge chunk of gold, right? 90 feet tall, 9 foot wide. Okay, he's flattering himself with being so thin, all right, in this 90 foot tall, 9 foot wide. That's a huge, huge monument to himself. And so here's what he commanded all the people. And let's look at verse 2 in Daniel chapter 3. "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." So Who did he call? Everybody that had position of power, right? All of them. Look at verse 3. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together into the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar, which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4. And the herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer," okay, all different kinds of music, and they're all wind instruments, or stringed instruments, okay? All of these instruments are wind and stringed instruments. He says, when you hear them, fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falls not down and worships shall the same be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So they were commanded to bow down and worship this 90-foot tall, 9-foot wide golden image when they heard the music. Now, let's back up again. How many of the rulers were there? All of them. Look at verse 3 again. The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province. Who's the author of this book? Daniel. He knows if they're all there because he's in charge of them. Daniel's there. He tells us that. He tells us right at the end of chapter 2 that he's the ruler. He's made a ruler in charge of the counselors. He's a governor. And then he says in the next, just a couple verses later, all the governors are there. He's letting us know he's there. Now, this doesn't mean he bowed down. It just means he's there. Let's keep reading here now. Go down now to verse 8. Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now, the Chaldeans, it's two things. The Chaldean can be a race of people, or most times it's a reference to the people who were the soothsayers or the magicians. A lot of times the Chaldean is a reference to not just a nationality, although it could be a nationality, but it's also a type of ruler that has some kind of mystic ability. And they come and they accuse the Jews because the Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, didn't bow down. Now maybe Daniel didn't bow down. We don't know if he bowed down or not. But we do know that they went after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they were in positions of leadership and power, and these other people are jealous. Has anybody ever had that happen to you? Somebody's jealous of you, and so they try to take you down? That's what happens to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they spoke to the king Nebuchadnezzar. They said, "Oh, live forever." Verse 10, "O king, you have made your decree that every man, when they hear the sound of all these instruments, that they should fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever doesn't fall down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded you. They do not serve your gods. They do not worship your golden image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these three men before the king. Now, again, maybe Daniel did bow down, maybe he didn't. Nobody accused him of not bowing down. And he's going to miss out on one of the coolest experiences that anybody in the Old Testament or the history of the world has ever experienced. So in verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar, speaking to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, says, "Do you not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear that sound of all these instruments, fall down and worship the image which I have made. It will be well. But if you do not worship, you will be cast into the same, you will be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter." Here's what they're saying. "We know that you think you're powerful, and we'll show you some respect." But we know better, buddy. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. Woohoo! Can you imagine this? You've got a king with unfettered authority. He holds their life in the balance. And they know he's serious, that he'll throw them into this fiery furnace. And they look at him and they say, our God can deliver us from you. We're not afraid. I mean, three people out of an entire kingdom. And they're taking on the king. Now, this did not make Nebuchadnezzar happy. Oh, but they say one more thing. Look at verse 18. But if not. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are wise. They just made this bold statement. Our God is able to deliver us from you. But if he chooses not to. See, they don't know the will of God. They don't know if the will of God might be for them to die in that furnace. And you know what? They're okay with that. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. So even if we die, we're willing to die for this. A couple weeks ago at youth group, I asked the teenagers, I said, one of the questions was, if there was a gun to your head, and if you said, yes, I believe in Jesus, would you be willing to say, yes, I believe in Jesus? And they were pretty honest. Because we're all good Christians. We're like, oh, yeah, yeah, woo, I'll die. Really? If it was your life or bowing down to worship another God, would you go, well, I just did it so I wouldn't die. I mean, it's not like I meant it or anything. You know, every action, every word carries significance. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not willing to compromise their love or their faith in their Lord for this man. And so they were willing to let their lives be taken. So, in verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar is full of fury, and he is hot, spitting mad. That's the Thaddeus Stout version of that right there. Hot, spitting mad. And his demeanor towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego violently and radically changed. And he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was normally heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound. They still had their coats on, their hosen, their hats, their garments. Okay, just imagine they're all dressed up for the fancy meeting with the king, right? They're there to celebrate this whatever celebration the king was going to have. So they got all their fancy clothes on. They didn't take time to put them into servants' or prisoner clothing. They take them as their dress. They bind their hands, bind their feet to throw them into the furnace. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire killed the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the people who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, they died. Verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, didn't we cast 3 men into the midst of the fire? Oh, by the way, go back to chapter 3, verse 28 and 29. Who was one of the king's counselors? Daniel. I wonder if Daniel's one of the guys standing there by the king. When his 3 friends are in the fire. The king says to his counselors, didn't we cast three men bound into the fire? The answer is unto him, true, king. He said, but I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Here's what he sees. He sees Jesus in the fire with those three. See, Jesus, he wasn't just standing by idly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew that their God could spare them from the fire. And they told the king, our God's able to do this. Now, if he does it or not, we don't know. We're still not going to bow down. And you know what Jesus did? When they were thrown into the fire and the people who threw them in the fire died because it was so hot, Jesus met them in the flame. Okay, I hope you're just like me right now and you're just like, wow, my brain hurts. How much does Jesus care about you? I'll tell you how much he cared about these three. They were taken prisoners as teenagers. They were castrated and made into eunuchs. They had every reason to leave their faith, but they never did. And now when they're thrown into a fiery furnace because they are not willing to compromise their faith, Jesus says, I'm gonna meet you there, and I will walk with you in the fire. Now, they were bound when they were thrown in, when they get in the fire. So what happens to the straps, the ropes that are holding them, burned off? They get up. Can you just imagine being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You're thrown into this fire. The people who throw you in, they die. You land in the fire. You stand up, and you're like, hey. And you see Jesus. And he's just standing there with them. Now, the Bible says they're walking around. Wouldn't you like to get some of the dialogue? I mean, that's what I want. I want to know, what are they saying to Jesus? What's he saying to them? What are they saying to each other? We don't get that. You know what we get? We get Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel's perspective outside the fiery furnace. Twelfth Street, there are two places to live. One outside the furnace, one inside. Outside, you see the work of God with other people. Inside, you experience the work of Jesus right there with you. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to live? We live so much of our life outside the fire. But Jesus met them in the fire. Man, I'm out of time, and I don't even have gotten anywhere this. He pulls them out of the fire. They're not even hurt. Look at verse 27. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. I burnt some grass and leaves the other day, and I just stood way outside the fire, and I smelled like smoke. And these guys don't even smell like smoke. Okay, in case you're missing it, all right, this is a really big miracle. This is like awesome. And this isn't a children's story. This is history. This really happened. So then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Let that be said of us. Let that be our testimony. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, tongue, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, their house be made dunghills, because there is no God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And this is the last time we hear about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Man, I want to know more about those guys. What else did they do? Well, we don't get that. Here's what we get. We get Daniel, who missed the fiery furnace for whatever reason. Maybe he didn't bow down. He just didn't get accused of it. Don't know. He was a counselor. He was there. He was stood outside the fire, and he saw into the fire. And so now they have a new king, new ruler. The old king, the old kingdom has been overtaken. And this new king, Daniel's one of the top advisors because he can interpret dreams, and he's God is behind him. So now this new king, turn over to Daniel chapter 6, verse 19. This new king, he makes a decree because he's tricked into it by his advisors, that if anybody prays to anybody but the king, that they should be put to death, thrown into a lion's den. Okay. Daniel will be seen this time. He will not miss it. He is going to the lion's den no matter what. He missed the fiery furnace. He's getting in that lion's den. So when it came time for prayer, and he knows they're going to be watching him, he opens his windows. He pulls up the blinds, and he makes sure that he is right next to that window as he prays out loud and prays to God. So they come to, they arrest him. King says, Daniel, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And Daniel says, I have to pray to my God. I can't pray to anybody else. So they throw Daniel into the den of lions. And I bet you Daniel the whole way, he's like, woohoo! I mean, if he gets eaten, so what? He finally gets to go! But now look at verse 19. So the king has him thrown in. He has to spend the night in there. They put a lid over the top of the lion's den. Verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice to Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver you from the lions? Then said Daniel, this is the Thaddeus Stout understanding of it. Oh, king! He's waking up. Oh, live forever, king. My God has sent his angel. Who is that angel? That's Jesus. The same angel that was with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He met with Daniel in the lion's den. And he shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before you, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Do you believe in your God? Do you believe enough to be thrown into a lion's den? Do you believe enough to be thrown into a fiery furnace? Real quickly, four lessons. Number one, stand up against cultural gods. We have a lot of cultural gods. Stand up to the cultural gods. Number two, stand firm on the truth. Don't compromise the truth just because everybody around you is going to make fun of you. Or you might have something hard happen to you. I can't think of anything that's harder than being thrown into a fiery furnace or into a lion's den. Thirdly, be willing to suffer the consequences. I think Daniel was like, please throw me into the lion's den. Please throw me into the lion's den. Why else open your windows and your doors and make sure that everybody knows? He wasn't going to miss the angel of the Lord this time. He got to spend a night with Jesus sleeping on a bunch of lions. I can just see him cuddling in close and pulling the fur and putting a paw around him so it's a little warmer. I can see him slapping a lion that's snoring. Shut up, I'm trying to sleep. I can see him the whole night sitting with his Lord Jesus before Jesus ever came to earth, born of a woman. Because Jesus met him in that lion's den. Because Jesus loves to care for those who believe. Are you willing to suffer the consequences? Because Jesus will be with you in the fire. Hebrews 13:5 tells us that God will never leave us or forsake us. God not only knows our sufferings and trials, he goes with us in them. He goes with us through them. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46:1. So don't miss out on standing for what's right. Do the good God wants no matter what the consequences. Jesus will stay with you in the lion's den. We all have our fiery furnaces, right? We all have our lion's dens. I remember Rachel coming home from work. She was teaching at, was it Huron Valley Schools? Milford? She was teaching somewhere. And she came home and she was a little bit upset because the principal had come in and told her to take down. She just had a thing called the teacher's prayer. And it was pretty generic. And the principal said, take it down. And it was like, wait a minute. Why would you want me to have to take this down? Well, because it says prayer. Okay, now that's not a lion's den or a fiery furnace. But sometimes we're confronted with things that it's like, why are you trying to make me stop something that's good? One Sunday, I had an awful, not here, okay, it was another church, all right, had an awful, awful weekend, and I had to go talk to a retired pastor, and I went and talked to him, and he just made my problems worse, and on my way home from talking to him, I was going to stop by one of the deacons who said some pretty unkind things about me at a meeting. So I stopped at his shop, and I was talking with him, and I actually made an apology to him. He had said that somebody was dressed immodestly, and I said, I wouldn't know. I don't look for such things. And probably wasn't the nicest thing to say in front of the whole congregation, so I apologized for that. And it was just a bad, bad day. Anybody have a bad, bad day? Yeah. And man, I felt like I was in a fire. The lions were circling. You know who met me? My Lord. Because when I started praying, you know, the scriptures talk about a peace that passes all understanding. She'll keep your hearts and minds. You know when you know that peace? It's when the lions are circling. It's when the fire's burning. And Jesus, he walks right with you. If you never walk through the fire, you'll never know what it's like to be protected by your Savior. If you never stand for what is right, you will never know what it's like to walk with Jesus. And if you never go against the culture that tries to silence your faith, you will never know the peace of Jesus staying with you in the lion's den. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your word. I am so encouraged this morning through what you did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and what you did for Daniel. Lord, I pray that even if we've missed out on opportunities in our lives where we weren't in the fiery furnace and we wish we had made a decision to stand up and be counted worthy to be there, I pray, Lord, we would be like Daniel and find the opportunities so that we can find our lion's den. And Lord, maybe there are some here that are saying, I don't ever want a fiery furnace. I don't ever want a lion's den. I pray, Lord, that they would see you in a deeper way. That God, you are a God who walks with us in those fires. You are the God who shuts the mouths of lions. I pray, God, we would be willing to live godly lives, because all who live godly for Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. I pray, Lord, we would be willing to have that true in our lives. I pray that 12th Street Baptist Church would not be a congregation of cowards, but we would be courageous and come to the forefront and stand for you. So as we close out the service, Lord, receive glory in each one of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here with us this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to be standing at the front. I'd love to talk to you about how you can trust Christ. And if you have, and if God has spoken to your heart, I just encourage you, do whatever God wants you to do. Maybe you know what your lion's den is. Maybe you know what your fiery furnace is. And you've been doubting whether or not your Lord will walk with you through it. Let me just tell you, He'll walk with you through it. You might get burned. I'm not going to promise you won't get burned. You might even get eaten by the lions, okay? But you'll never know until you trust your Lord. And we're gonna close with the song, Jesus Paid It All. I can't think of a better way to close out the service. He has paid it for us. Let's live it back for Him. Let's stand together as we sing. Thank you for washing our sin white as snow, clean as the fresh fallen snow. God, you've given so much. You've given everything to us, for us, so that we could live out godly lives for you. Thank you for giving us this assurance this morning that you will walk with us through our fiery furnaces, that you will meet us in the lion's den. So now to him who executes all power over heaven and hell, who holds all authorities, all principalities, all powers underneath his feet, to you, Lord Jesus, be honor and glory both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you, serve him.